You're listening to the Vibrant Happy Women Podcast, episode number 16.
I have found everything, whether it's a project to a relationship to an idea, unfolds at its own sacred pace.
Welcome to the Vibrant Happy Women Podcast, stories of vibrant women living happy lives. And now your host, Jen Riday.
Hi there, Jen here, and this is Vibrant Happy Women. On our last episode, I had the pleasure to chat with Sarah Dobson, and she shared her story of coping with a disease that has caused her to have 5 brain surgeries. Nevertheless, Sarah is positive and vibrant and focused on giving back. I really loved a quote she shared that we should create before we consume. Today, I'll be chatting with Jamie Myers. She believes that everything unfolds at its own sacred pace and that everything in life happens for her instead of to her. It's super inspiring and I can't wait to get started. So here we go. Welcome to today's episode of Vibrant Happy Women. I am so happy to introduce my guest today, Jamie Myers. Jamie Myers is the founder of Shine Life Design and leads retreats and courses for women to discover and live from their own personal truth. Known for her humor, clarity, and authenticity, Jamie delivers from the heart. She lives in Scottsdale, Arizona with her husband, Seth, and their 2 young sons. Welcome, Jamie. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So I've given our listeners just a little taste of who you are. So take a minute and fill in any missing information and tell us a little about yourself.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think that pretty well captures what I'm doing now. I guess something that I would add as far as background is I'm turning 43 this month, and I've been doing personal transformation work for about 20 years. I started when I was just about 21 years old, and I led workshops for an organization called PAX Programs, that was about having great relationships, romantic relationships, and understanding the dynamics of masculine and feminine, and also women being our best selves. And so I did that for 11 years. I led courses once a month across the country and in Canada. And that's a big part of my experience. And I worked with thousands of women, and I did some courses for men. So much of what I know and share and have learned is really from the experience of being with people and hearing from people and learning from each other, you know, how we do life, what it is to be human. So I guess that's a big part of my background that I like to share with people and kind of where I'm coming from.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
We love to start off our show with our guest's favorite quote or a personal motto. Do you have one to share with us today?
I do. Can I share one of each?
Yes, that would be great.
Loud.
Bonus.
Well, one of my favorite quotes that's really stuck with me over the years is, "Every master was once a disaster."
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah. That's by T. Harv Eker. And it really I love that quote because it really helps me be a beginner at things. And I find myself, I tend to start things and jump into things and like new things. And so that quote really helps me to not stop. It's like, okay, I'm a disaster right now, but I will be a master.
Yeah.
Or at least get better.
I agree with you there. I've come to accept that failure is really a part of awesomeness. Fail, yeah. tweak,
exactly.
And then you slowly succeed. So those who succeed are those who are not afraid to fail a lot of times. So that goes exactly with what you said.
Yeah, and be a beginner and be willing to flounder around and know that the masters were once there too. You know, yeah. I think we forget that.
That's right.
And then my personal motto is, again, I have a couple, but one is, everything is happening for me, or what I share with others, you know, what if everything is happening for you and versus to me, or why does this keep happening? It really puts me in a place of looking for the lessons, looking for the gifts. Why is this happening? To help me and support me and have me grow and learn, versus getting in that victim mode of like, this, why does this keep happening? And this really sucks. So I love, just my personal motto is everything is happening for my best, for, you know, my own personal growth. And then I just also have this saying that I pretty much say every day, which is sacred pace, sacred pace, sacred pace. And what that is to me is all is in order. All is in, like, if you watch a flower grow, it grows at this very specific, perfect pace. And you can't go over and open the leaves and open the bud and force it. And I have found everything, whether it's a project to a relationship to an idea, unfolds at its own sacred pace. And so having that as a reminder lets me have my attention on something, you know, my intention, and put attention on it, but then like a kind of a releasing it or no tension or letting go of it, of exactly the pace it's going to unfold.
Yeah,
that's
letting go.
A lot of peace in my life.
So, Jamie, you're talking in a way that makes me think you believe in a higher power. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. You know, this has been a question for me for a long time. And I, you know, to be honest, I don't know how to summarize that, but I do believe there's a grand organized design, you know, whether it's, we call it the universe or the source, but I believe there's an organized design that's a bigger picture, that's a bigger plan than we know of, and things are unfolding and we don't really know, we can't see the whole picture.
So that something is what's helping everything to happen for us instead of to us, and controlling that sacred pace that you talked about.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And sometimes things can look like, you know, this sucks or why is this happening? But there is like a bigger plan. There is, because I think those of us who see it and can look back and reflect on it, we see that, wow, I'm really thankful that happened. It was hard, but I'm grateful for it because I'm now where I am, or I learned that, or I grew that muscle.
Right, right. It was it sucked, like you said, going through it. But after the fact, you can look back and say, I wouldn't give up that growth for anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Jamie, let's transition into your low point. Every woman has a story. We want to hear what your story is, what your struggle has been in life.
I feel like I have sort of low and high points throughout the day, every day.
Yes.
In this constant cycle of learning. But I, which is good, you know, I'm engaged in life. And one low point, though, that came to mind was about when I was 28 years old, and my now husband, we moved to San Diego, and I left a job that I had in San Francisco that on paper was ideal, at least at that point in my life. I worked downtown San Francisco, Union Square, at this really great advertising agency. I made great money, especially for my age. And I went with, you know, my husband and I were talking about moving to San Diego together, kind of starting our life together. And I really went with what felt right. And on that, I really didn't like the job, even though on paper and to everybody else around me, it seemed like a dream. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like a dream to me. I really hated it. And my intuition and my gut feel was go to San Diego, move there, follow that. That felt really right.
Mm.
And so I did, but I went with kind of a, and everything's going to work out perfectly, which I guess in some ways you could look at it. It did, but it was very hard because when I got there, I had a hard time finding a job. You know, the economy kind of, the dot-com economy kind of turned at that point. Mm-hmm. And it went from everything was flowing and easy to get a job to becoming pretty challenging to get a job. Mm-hmm. And my husband was just starting in a new business. And so we just went through what felt like a real low point of, you know, at one point, like we sold all of our beach equipment to
rent. Not the beach equipment in California.
I know, it's sort of one of those, like, you know, third world problem, right? we did have some perspective about it, but it just felt like we kind of went from like, okay, everything's great, great job, great money, to wow, okay, we can't even pay our rent. Uh-huh. And the hardest part was every day I would get up and I would look at job postings and I didn't know what I wanted to do and everything felt like a rejection. And I got a job. I finally went to a temp agency because I just had to make some money. Mm-hmm. And I went in and I got a job at a temp agency, and they said, oh, you're so great, we'll find you a job right away. And I was like, great, okay, everything's back, you know, flowing my way. And the next day they called me and they said, come in, we have a job, but you have to come in and sign for it and say that you want this job. And so I was like, great. I went in and they handed me this piece of paper, and it said, job, Jack in the Box mailroom, pay minimum wage. Oh, and then the funniest part was it said, dress casual. And then under that, it said, any other information needed? No.
Oh, no.
Be on time. Wow. But that was a low point of, wow, okay, what do I do? This is not where I saw myself. You know, I thought I was like, you know, in the world of a good job, good money, things are going my way. And here I am kind of back to like a job even paying me less than I had in college. And so I, you know, I went. I said, yes, I took the job. I went to the mailroom. I had another job where I did polling. Like the next week, I got a job at 8 hours a day calling this mailbox company and doing a poll, which at some point I got told to F off. It was really like, wow, this is bad. And no other perspectives coming my way, and really struggling, you know, to have enough money just to kind of get through the day to day. And yeah, that was a low point. I still sometimes see job postings. Like I'm not when I'm looking for them, but just see one, and I get this sort of like post-traumatic stress syndrome come up. Oh, I remember that feeling.
Oh, yeah.
I want to do, and this is not going well.
So you followed your intuition to San Diego.
Yeah.
Gave up the amazing job, and then you hit this low point. So how did you get out of it?
Well, I kept taking one step at a time, one day at a time, and just being grateful that I had enough to get by. And then I, you know, started, I am resourceful, right? So I just started asking people at those companies, okay, do you know of a job? Do you know of a job? Do you know of a job? And I just kept taking one step at a time. You know, another one of my favorite quotes is, if you're going through hell, keep going.
Mm. Sure, why not? You're already there, right?
Right. You just have to keep going. And learning the lessons. And at some point, and I was, you know, it was humbling. I learned a lot. It was humbling. And I finally got a job at a fiber optic company, which is also hilarious because I'm not a tech person at all. But I got a job as the front, like, reception office manager. And what happened was, so that was to pay the rent. And then I really started to look at, who am I? What do I want to do in my life? And this was the gold that came out of that experience, because I really had to do the hard work of, what do I love to talk about? What do I love to do? When am I happiest? When do I feel free? What lights me up? What's been a theme in my life? Like, really doing the work to discover who I am. And that led me to the company that I led workshops for so long. I called them up, asked if I could volunteer on their team, because I had taken their class and I loved it. And that's where I started. And I started volunteering, and I started saying yes to whatever felt like a good opportunity for me. And then I took their leadership program while I was working as an office manager at this fiber optic company. I volunteered in the back of the room, like giving out handouts. And like, I just volunteered, because that's how you started. I took the course and I said, are there any opportunities just to get to know more about your organization? They said, well, you can come volunteer on the team. And everything felt right about it. I felt at home there. I would love what they taught and how they taught it. And then they had a leadership training there. It was so funny. It was one of those things. I followed those little inklings and the breadcrumbs. And then they opened up their first leadership training while I was volunteering. And so I signed up, and I did their training to lead courses.
Mm. So you figured out what you were good at, what you enjoyed. And then this came to mind, and you went and volunteered, and that was your foot in the door. That's really resourceful. That's great.
Yeah, thanks.
What was the one clear lesson you learned from that experience?
If you're going through hell, keep going. it really was like this was really the beginning of, what if things are happening for you? for me? Mm-hmm. And it was interesting in looking at that question that you gave of what it was a low point, because I can honestly say that since then, even though I have and my husband and I and family have gone through a lot of challenges, including job loss, moves, a parent passing away, you know, my nephew having cancer, like real, real challenges in life. Mm-hmm. I can't remember, like, a low point did not occur. It didn't occur as a low point. Any of those things didn't occur as low points as much as that moment back at that time. Mm-hmm. And I really believe it's because I have since then lived from, okay, what if this is happening for me? Mm-hmm. What are the lessons? What am I grateful for? What do I need to keep doing? How can I, you know, being resourceful, how can we keep moving forward? And everything, even the challenges, have occurred as worth it and of value and made me stronger, made my marriage stronger, my family, mm-hmm. that I don't experience really low points anymore, mm-hmm. even though I have challenges and struggles. Don't get me wrong.
Right. But you realize it's happening for you.
Huh. Yeah. Just, and there's gold.
Yeah.
There's gold there.
And probably without that unemployment, you wouldn't have been forced to dig and find and do something scary. So it was for you.
It really was. It really was for me, because I'm not somebody that does that just to do that. I mean, I love transformational work, but I wasn't going to do the hard work that I did with a great job that paid me well, that I was like, okay with.
You became a teacher, a facilitator for PACS then.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us your journey from there until the present day.
So I led courses there for 11 years. And there was just a point where I felt it was, I had this moment of, it was like a wave of peace that just came over me. It's like, you're done. I'm done. And it was not, I'm done because I don't like this company or I'm angry or resentful. It was nothing. It was just, you're done. And it was trusting again, that little inkling, that intuition that there was something else for me. And so I started to inquire, started to look at, what do I want to do? What's my own message? What's speaking to me? And I started looking, doing my own thing. And I stayed with that company for about a year after I had that insight and started to create my own thing.
What is that own thing you created?
Well, it now is Shine Life Design. I started with, you know, you have to start somewhere. And at that point I had two young kids and I had a wealth of information from PACS. I also had a license. I have a license from PACS to teach any of their material. So I thought, okay, what can I do on my own with what I have? And so I started teaching teleclasses for moms of young kids, because that was what was closest to my kind of my world and my community. Mm-hmm. And I started my own business. I called it Queen Mom at the time. Queen is kind of a PACS term for like when we take care of ourselves and we have a vision. And so that's where I started. And it was really bringing the PACS material to moms. Mm-hmm. How do you work in partnership with your spouse? How do you practice self-care in the midst of the chaos of young children? Mm-hmm. And I started with teleclasses and I did a retreat for moms in Sedona. And then what I found was it was expanding beyond that. I had women who wanted to participate who weren't moms. The conversation started to feel limiting. I wanted to talk about other things other than being a mom, even though being a mom is a big part of my life. And so I transitioned from Queen Mom to Shine Life Designs. I changed the name and I opened the courses up to all women, and then started collaborating with the women that I work with now, who are Martha Beck Master Coaches. And the conversation started to evolve from there, bringing what I knew from my PACS experience, what they brought, which was the Martha Beck world, Byron Katie, a lot of these other distinctions. And together we created our own work and our own curriculum and retreats. And so now it's really for all women.
So women come to you now for these retreats. And if you had to narrow it down, what would you say women are looking for?
I would say women are looking for some peace. Most of the women who come to me have achieved a level of success in their life. There's things that are working, and they're looking for They want to trust themselves. Mm-hmm. They want to have more freedom and some, well, the retreats are also, they just want some rest.
Right.
Some time to get away and reflect, and then really to be able to have some things like momentum in their lives and clarity about things and some peace. And knowing how to really trust their own self, their own navigation versus always seeking out. I find that women that come are pulled in a lot of directions and really burn out. Mm-hmm. That's how they show up.
Okay. And so how do you help them with that?
Well, part of it is, you know, with the retreats is really slowing down, you know, reconnecting with nature, getting some rest. We have a woman there who does massage and we just slow down, cultivate. Around Shine, we call it cultivating some peace, you know, because we can't gain clarity about anything or tune into our own intuition or truth or anything if we don't have some peace in our lives or we haven't slowed down long enough. So there's that part of it. And then we look at actual tools. I talked to you about the body compass. We have women set their body compass. It's a Martha Beck tool. How do you tune into your own intuition? You know, people have said to me for a long time, trust yourself. I was like, well, what part of myself do I trust? I have a whole committee in my head. So it's really, how do you trust your intuition? And then how do you create your goals? How do you create your life? How do you create relationship from your spirit, from who you are versus what we call like your social self, the things you should be doing, the things that people expect you to do versus who you really are.
So how do we build our life from that spiritual self rather than the social expectations? What are the steps?
I think that the first step is, again, slowing down long enough that you can actually pay attention to your essence, your spirit. We're often rushing around so much that we're in reaction mode. Mm-hmm. So I think the first step is slowing down, practicing self-care. Mm-hmm. You know, we call it, at Shine, we speak about it as in terms of creating your sacred space, having an environment that you like, you know, that you live in, getting enough sleep, eating food that is nourishing to you, having alone time, like really cultivating peace in your life would be, I would say, the first step. Mm-hmm. And then the body compass is a great tool. But even if you don't have that, listening to your own body cues. We all have intuition or some sense of it. When somebody says, hey, do you want to go to lunch? And your whole body shuts down, right? Like paying attention to what feels like freedom, what feels like a yes, and what feels like, heck no, I really don't want to do that. So paying attention to those things and starting to like tune into the yeses and the nos and following what feels like freedom. Like what feels expansive versus what feels contracting. Mm-hmm. And when we follow what feels like freedom, what feels expansive versus contracting, we live from our true authentic self. Mm-hmm. So I would say just starting to tune into what feels like freedom, or at least moving more in that direction. We're all unique, right? We all have our own unique path. And our bodies are designed to, like, we're not thrown in there, not thrown into our life without any navigation system. We wouldn't survive, you know? And I think we have these indicators in our body, whether it feels contracting or expansive, it feels like freedom or death.
Oh, yeah.
To keep us on our true path.
True path. Oh, that's beautiful. I think it's going to make all our listeners want to go find that sacred space and start listening to their intuition, because doesn't want to be on that path?
Right. Yeah. I call it the magic carpet ride, because things just start to move for us and the challenges become worth it. I think that's one of the best parts too, because there's nothing worse than being off your path and then having challenge.
Right. Oh, that's the worst. Yeah. Right. So if our listeners want to know more about you, Jamie, where can they find you?
Well, they can find me at shinelifedesign.com.
Okay.
That's my website. And then, or they could email me at jamie@shinelifedesign.com. And as you know, it's spelled J-A-I-M-E, like Spanish boy.
Okay.
Boy in Spanish. Jaime.
Jaime.
Easy way to remember it.
So, Jaime, you also mentioned before we began the interview that you have a free audio for our listeners. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. So one of the things that that I had mentioned was the Body Compass, which is a Martha Beck tool. So we have, so Kim, who's the Martha Beck master coach that I collaborate with, we did an audio recording to for people to guide people in setting their body compass, which is understanding your body cues and being able to tune into your own intuition, your own navigation system. So it's about 25-minute audio recording that guides you through what the body compass is and how to use it.
Nice. So our listeners can find that link in the show notes by going to jenrade.com/16. And we'll have a link there to that audio. Thanks for offering that, Jaime.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, Jaime, we've reached my favorite part of the show where we get to find out a few of your favorite things. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Fire away.
Fire away. Share your favorite personal habit that contributes to your success.
Remembering that we're all unique and collaborating and supporting other people.
Okay. Share your favorite easy meal that you like to eat regularly.
Street tacos.
Where do you get them?
I get the street taco shells, and then it's easy because it's pretty much anything we have in the refrigerator.
Okay, so you say street tacos. Here in Wisconsin, we don't have that term. Explain it.
Okay. They're like tiny little taco shells, and then you can just put anything in them.
Oh.
You have vegetables. If you eat meat, you can put a little chicken, cheese. Super easy.
That's so fun. And anything tiny is more fun than the regular size.
That's exactly right.
When you said street tacos, I was picturing a food truck.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's where it came from. And
okay.
Now they brought it into, you know, homes where you can go but get your own shell and make your own street tacos. Uh-huh. They're not as fun as the trucks, but they're easy.
Yeah. What's your current favorite household possession?
We have a painting. I love artwork, and we have a beautiful painting that we got when we lived in Portland, Oregon by a local artist, and it's my favorite piece in the house.
Maybe you can send us a picture of it, and we'll put it on the show notes page.
Okay.
What is a favorite book that you think the Vibrant Happy Women community would enjoy, and why?
So a recent book that I read, which was Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. I love this book, and why is it's really inspiring and funny and leaves you with the knowing and experience that we're not alone in living a courageous life, an authentic life.
We're not alone. Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert.
Okay. It's awesome. Yes.
We'll link to that as well. Favorite item on your bucket list and why?
I really want to spend a summer at a lake house. Mm-hmm. And I don't even care where it is. I have
water.
By water and the lake and kids running around. I probably have it way fantasized what it would be.
See, and now you got through that low point earlier and you can repurchase your beach items.
That's right.
What is the best advice you've ever received?
To get enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's a life changer.
Yeah, that's a new goal I set this week. I think I reset that goal about every 3 months.
Yes, I'm a completely different person when I get enough sleep. So best advice I ever got.
Mm-hmm. Looking back on your life so far, share your favorite, happiest moment.
So this sounds a little cliche, but it was actually my wedding day. And why, though, is more important, the why. Every one of my family members that I love and adore and my special friends, because we kept it very small, we're there in one place. And some of them have passed now. And it was just a wonderful, beautiful, special day that I didn't bring any stress to. I let it be whatever it was going to be. And it was really beautiful and one of my favorite days of my life.
Surrounded by love.
Yes, by the people that I really care about.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Our final and most important question, Jaime, if you had to create a 3-5-part formula of actions that maximize your happiness, what would you include there?
So I would include first to nurture your needs, take care of your basic needs, getting enough sleep, food, alone time, you know, the basic needs that we have. Then part two of that would be to live and speak your own personal truth. If that's new to you, just start somewhere, speak your truth, what feels true to you. And the third part would be, at Shine, we call it empower your dream. Move towards what makes you happy, what feels a little bit more freedom, even if it's an inch in that direction.
So nurture needs, speak truth and live your truth, and then empower your dream. So we're moving, the goal is to move towards greater freedom and joy.
Yeah, because sometimes we don't know what our dream is, or we don't know it feels too much or too big of a change from where we are. So I just say move a little bit towards freedom. Mm. What feels a little bit more free? Mm-hmm. What feels like so much dread, and can you just not do that?
Yeah.
Little changes.
And what would you say for people who are afraid to take that step, afraid it might not work out?
I would say start small. Start with something that doesn't feel as scary, like an inch in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Usually if we feel too afraid or sort of paralyzed by it, it's like too steep of a gradient. So start with something really small, saying no to that lunch date, you know, mm-hmm. cleaning out a closet.
Right.
Something that feels doable, and just take baby steps. Okay. And surround yourself with people who nurture you. I think that's a really key thing when we're afraid, is spend time with people that you like yourself around.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say that we tend to act like the five people we are around most. So you'd want to surround yourself with amazing people, right?
Sure. Yeah. And people, I always like to look at it like the people you like yourself around. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we can spend time with people that we like, that we feel intimidated by, or we feel nervous around, or because they're great. You know, we think of them as great. But, you know, spend time with people you like yourself around. And I think that's where we really shine. We really bring out the best of who we are.
Well, again, Vibrant Happy Women, you can find links to everything Jamie and I have been discussing by going to jenridey.com/15. Jamie, now that we're at the end of our chat together, give us an actionable parting challenge that we can work on in the week or a few weeks ahead.
Well, I would say to, you know, like what we've talked about, just start somewhere with speaking your truth, you know, something that feels true to you. I'm done with this. I really want to do this. I'm ready for this, whatever it is. And then take one even small action in that direction. And I think that really helps us be who we are and gain trust in our own selves and our own path. And then we also attract what we need and the people that like who we are. You know, when we are ourselves, we become a magnet for who we are and what we're up to in the world. And yeah.
Hmm. That's beautiful. I will be thinking about that, and I'm sure our guests will too. So Jamie, thank you so much for being on the show. You have so much to offer, and people can find you by going to shinelifedesign.com.
Yes.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being here, Jamie.
You're welcome. It was really fun. Thanks for having me, Jen.
Take care.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And be sure to head over to jenridey.com/16 to get your free copy of Jamie's Setting the Body Compass that she talked about in this episode. Be sure to join me next time as I chat with Kenya Calderon, and she shares her story of immigrating to the United States when she was 11. She remembers her dad carrying 5 gallons of water on his back and walking 3 days across the desert. And her story is amazing. And now she's been in the U.S. for a while, and she's a senior at Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa. So join us next time and make it a great day. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Vibrant Happy Women Podcast at www.jenridey.com.